From the Ron McKeefery Podcast Network, I'm Isaiah Castilleja, and this is Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0. On this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0, Coach Bishop talks about how he combines nutrition and resistance training to create his all-encompassing sports performance program, how he created his path from collegiate athlete to sports performance coach, and some advice for coaches that are navigating their career path. All this on another episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0. This episode is brought to you by Play. Play is a company that I've personally been working with from the start. Everyone at Play works to help strength coaches innovate and find solutions for our profession. From flooring, weight room equipment, outdoor spaces, and everything in between, Play will collaborate with you to find what you need. They work with everyone from professional teams to high schools, and they've always made me feel important and a part of the Play family. Refuse second best with Play. Find them at play.us and let them know Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0 sent you. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Today we are joined by Coach Alan Bishop. He is the Director of Men's Basketball Sports Performance at the University of Houston. Prior to that, he had a stop at as the Director of Olympic Strength and Conditioning at Utah State, as well as an Assistant Strength and Conditioning Coach at Utah State. He also had stops at the University of Texas, Arlington, and Southern Utah. Welcome to the podcast, Coach.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Could you tell us a little bit about your role at the University of Houston?
Yeah, so here at the University of Houston, we're in a pretty good spot. We've got 10 full-time paid strength staff members, sports performance, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then up until, you know, here recently with the with some of the cutbacks we've had to do with this COVID-19 deal going on. We also had 4 additional non-benefited paid staff members as well. So, I mean, we're rolling 14 deep here. So with that, I only oversee the men's basketball sports performance aspect of it. The way our facility is set up, we're kind of pushed off to the side from a standpoint of we've got our own facility, we've got our own nutritional availability within the building, our own training, you know, just everything is kind of in-house. So when it comes to any aspect of the sports performance and the development side of it, I mean, that's kind of fallen under my umbrella. I don't know that there's, you know, maybe a more obvious role that I have than obviously what we're doing in the, you know, the weight room and what we do from the strength and conditioning side. But the other big component that I think, you know, people who know a little bit about what I'm doing might see is what we do from a nutrition standpoint. And so the reality of the kind of position I have, I mean, I'm 24/7, 365 of availability to my guys. I'm just around all the time. And so we got a lot of guys who are very, very good players. They're going to have a lot of opportunities to go make some money playing this game when they're done with us at University of Houston. And so part of that side of it is, you know, making sure they're fed right and taking care of them on that side of it. So, you know, I feel like half the time I'm spending more of my time handling the nutritional side of things than I am the actual training side of things. But yeah, it's a couple different hats.
For sure. And you had mentioned you run like all of the basketball performance. How many coaches besides yourself are on just the men's basketball?
So on the strength side of it, there's myself. There's, I have an assistant position. And then we're in a pretty cool and unique spot where we've got a women's director of basketball strength and conditioning. Her name is Coach Breanne Brown. Presently, she does a phenomenal job with them. And we have very similar mindsets, very similar approaches. And so it's really a unique setting from a standpoint of the two of us share a facility. So the men's and the women's basketball teams are the only teams lifting out of that facility. So really when the women are on the floor, you know, I'll be on the floor helping them. My assistant will be on the floor helping them. And then, you know, vice versa. So it's pretty cool when you see a team training and they got three full-time or three paid staff members helping them out. You know, and then the other reality is, you know, Brand's got an assistant as well. You know, she does basketball. She also oversees soccer. Okay. So she's got an assistant helping her out with that. And so, I mean, there's times when you see four of us running around that deal. So you know, it's a really good deal there. You know, your best asset is always going to be your people. So you got a lot of good people on the floor helping your kids out, you know, a lot of opportunities to develop.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a great deal to have four full-time strength coaches there to help out with those teams. And what, you know, is the culture you try to establish with your assistant strength coach? And then also, what about with your athletes? You know, if I were to walk into a workout and observe what's going on, what kind of culture would I see with you and your athletes?
You know, I don't think you can boil down culture to just one buzzword or one this, that, the other. You know, we're disciplined. There's accountability. There's the things that are really important to us that we're always going to ensure that we're maintaining our standard. But, you know, I read the Governing Dynamics book, and he had a really good quote in there. You know, he was talking about culture, and the most successful programs, you know, are programs where the guys are just all in all the time. And so, you know, you got to have a little bit of talent. You obviously got to have a little bit of coaching prowess. But from a culture standpoint, guys are all in all the time. And so I think that is not just related to the players themselves. I mean, as a coaching staff, we're all in all the time as well. And so I think if it's important, if it matters, you know, we're going to maintain our standards. We're going to have a certain way we want to do things. We're not going to deviate from those standards. And so I think when you walk into the weight room or, you know, maybe you walk out into the parking garage, cause you know, we're running hill sprints on the ramp, you know, maybe you're in the indoor and we're running tempo runs. I think the biggest thing you're going to notice is, you know, it's organized, it's well thought out. There's attention to detail. You know, and my expectation of myself is, you know, I'm coaching my face off. You know, same with anybody on the floor with me. Coach every rep. You know, it doesn't mean you got to be out there just hooting and hollering and making noise to make noise. It means you're giving actionable cues. It means you're giving feedback. It means you're, you know, positively reinforcing things that are being done well that you want to see more of, right? And so that's the big thing with us is just, you know, all in all the time when it matters, from the top to the bottom and the side to the side, you know?
Absolutely. That's awesome. And you know, how do you get young 18, 19-year-old men to come into the weight room and embrace the iron as a basketball player? Like,
you know, I think we're in a pretty good spot. You know, I think the kind of guys that we recruit, I mean, we recruit some high level players. We recruit some high level athletes. But I think, you know, the guy that I work for, just he is a legend in coaching. He's a legend in basketball, just an all time top coach. So, I mean, I feel like I'm getting a PhD in coaching every day. But he's recruiting kids that are going to fit our culture. You know, we target kids that we want, and we have kids that are kicking down the door trying to come play for us. Right. You know, and I think part of the thing with us is, you know, what we do in the weight room, that's part of the package. And so now you'd be fooling yourself to think every one of these guys is as locked into training as I am.
Right.
But I think that they understand that in the grand scheme of things, it's in their best interest, you know, with what we do, how we play, and just the aggressive and physical style that we play with. I mean, we hang our hat on that. So what we do in the weight room is just, you know, it all helps, you know, it all contributes. So
definitely. And you had mentioned earlier that, you know, the nutrition aspect is important, and you know, find yourself handling that almost more than what you're doing in the weight room. How is your approach with like the nutrition and nutrition education with these guys, you know, cause you know, they're college students, you know, they're going to eat mac and cheese or whatever they got to do. But you know, if you provide them the opportunity, what are you trying to teach them?
You know, I think with us, we're in a really good spot. I mean, for men's basketball, we have a well over six figure nutrition budget. Right. And I know not everybody has that, but that's something that, that my boss, that's something that our administration has deemed very important. And so that's something we're heavily invested in. And so we do have the availability of maybe a few more resources. We have the ability to do a few more things. And so with that being said, you know, one, from the time that we see them on a recruiting trip, you know, we start hammering it that you know, we're the experts and we are going to be the experts. We're going to provide for you things that you're probably not going to provide for yourself. You know, guys aren't going to go home after, you know, practice, school, doing their deal all day and realistically not going to start, you know, cooking up steak, quinoa, vegetables, things like that. You know, so we'll go ahead and we'll do that one for you. Right. But we kind of separated it out. You know, we have our training table side of it, which is pretty high level, you know, I think. And we have our fueling station, which is available to them 24/7, 365. You know, a lot of people talk about that, but I'm in charge of it. So it's in their locker room and they have access to that locker room 24/7, 365. You know, we have it set up and it's always, always there for them. You know, and then we kind of have our individualized supplementation protocols that we'll use. A lot of that is focusing on micronutrients, you know, trying to avoid essentially some of the common deficiencies that you're going to see, you know, in the Western American diet, you know, the typical college students probably not getting enough omega-3 fatty acids, you know, magnesiums, things like that. So we're going to make sure that we're doing some of those things for them. And, you know, and you know, I think you can periodize your nutrition a little bit, whether it's, you know, jacking up vitamin D intake at certain times of the year, backing off at certain times, just doing, you know, some different things like that. So from a standpoint of our guys, they're invested in themselves and they view this as an investment. So it's an investment in them winning. It's an investment in their future. It's an investment in their, you know, future earning potential. So, you know, we view it the same way. We're investing in our players. You know, we're investing in our program when we develop our guys and we feed our guys and we do it the right way. So, you know, again, and I'd be lying to you if I said, you know, guys weren't running off to, you know, Popeyes and grabbing a chicken sandwich or, hitting up the Golden Arches. You know, I mean, they're college kids. They're freaks. They can, you know, some of them can eat cotton candy for breakfast and still have a six pack and be an all conference player. Right. So, you know, it must be nice, you know, pick their parents the right way. So, but you know, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, exposing them, getting them to understand the value, getting them bought into it and just, you know, just not deviating from what we do.
Definitely. And like you said, it all comes, you know, from the head coach getting the right talent that buys into the culture and establishes that culture. And I think that's important. How does your training philosophy and the nutrition change throughout the year or does it change, you know, when you guys are going to tournament time versus, you know, right now when they're in the preseason trying to get things ready? Does it vary at all or is it all consistent throughout the year?
No, I mean, there's going to be a lot of consistencies, but there are going to be slight tweaks. You know, that's just kind of the reality of the world we live in is, you know, we're on the road. You're not going to be able to eat the exact same way you eat at home. You know, if for no other reason, then you have different caterers, you have different, you know, different time slots you're working with, but there's going to be a lot of similarities. We're not going to get too novel just because we're in a different spot, you know, but the other side of that, one thing that's really unique to basketball is, you know, we're on the road. We play a lot of games. And if you're in the American Athletic Conference, man, we got some pretty cool cities, you know, so you're hitting up Cincinnati, you're hitting up New Orleans, you're hitting up Dallas. I mean, you know, just one of the realities of basketball is it's one of the fun parts of the game is you visit a lot of cities all over the country and you have a small group of guys and you take in some of the local cuisine, you know, so absolutely. you know, what we're not going to do is we're not going to have a haphazard, you know, kind of half-assed approach of, you know, we're just going to be eating Chick-fil-A when we get on the bus after the game, and we're going to be doing this, that. I mean, we're going to hit local restaurants. We're going to try some different things. We're going to try to take care of our guys a little bit, you know, in those victory meals. We're going to do some different things that way. So it's just one of the benefits of being with them all the time is understanding the culture of what we do and the culture of our staff and the culture of our players and lining it up that way.
That's great. And when I'm listening to this, I hear one thing, and I know some of the younger strength coaches listening in, they're probably thinking like, this is awesome. Like this is, you know, you guys, it sounds like you guys have everything you need to succeed and to work with your athletes. But at me as a head strength coach, I'm listening in, and I'm just like, all right, where did you learn to manage all this? Even for how big is your team? 15, 20 guys?
Oh, this year is the biggest it's been since I've been here. We have 15 guys on roster. Okay. But normally you're 12 or 13, and you know, the way it's going now with the way kids transfer, and you know, you kind of got to leave a scholarship open, you know, just in case. And it's almost got to the point where a lot of teams don't want to carry too many people.
Right.
Because then people get upset, and all of a sudden you're coming off the floor and you have a big win, and you got some dude frowning in the corner because he just didn't play enough minutes. I mean, so right. It's, you know, so again, we have 15, and this is the most we've carried since I've been here.
Yes. So you have 15 guys. Where did you learn, or what part of being at, you know, Southern Utah or UT Arlington, Utah State, did you learn to manage, you know, being the director, be like, all right, here's what we're going to do for nutrition. Here's how we're going to manage our 15 guys. You know, we're on the road. Here's how, you know, where did you go about, or how, what in your previous experiences prepared you for the position you're in today?
You know, for me, I've been such a weight room guy. I mean, really my whole life. And so I remember being 10 years old and just sneaking into gyms on the, you know, my dad was in the Army, so we were on a military base, and you kind of got to start figuring out when the soldiers aren't going to be in there. And, you know, but I remember sneaking into gyms, you know, just trying to mess around on equipment, you know, and then, you know, I went to high school 2 years in Texas and 2 years in Alabama, and it's big, big, you know, football country, football culture.
Right.
Former football player. Right. So, I mean, I've been training, actual training, since I was 14. And so you just kind of start picking things up here and there. And then, man, you talk about, you know, maybe hitting the jackpot. When I got to Utah State University as a player, you know, one of the, you know, a couple of years in, one of the first coaches I had was a guy by the name of Coach Dave Scholes, a big, big nutrition guy. And so all of a sudden, you know, as a player, I'm trying to bend his ear a little bit on, hey, man, you hear about this thing? You hear about that thing? I was totally doing the bro deal of, hey, man, you hear about this new Creajacked 9000 that someone, you know, I mean, so it was just something I was always really interested in. And then luckily I had somebody who knew a whole lot more than me that was also interested in it, that was kind of steering me the right direction and giving me the right things to read and the right people to talk to. And, you know, and then I got to Southern Utah. In Southern Utah, when I got there, you know, it was funny. I took a grad assistant job there. And when I got down there, the administration didn't know that they were hiring a GA. I mean, like, I was the first one that they'd ever brought in. And it was just kind of a, yeah, we'll figure it out. Come on down. You know, and you know, it was kind of a funny deal. But there was two of us. You know, it was Division I, FCS, big, you know, now it's in the Big Sky. But there was two of us. I mean, you got to figure things out. And then, you know, took that UT Arlington, and it was a head basketball. So you're just figuring things out. You know, and it's funny because a lot of times, you know, you'd be fooling yourself to think that this is all it takes.
Right.
But a lot of times, man, it's just knowing what not to do. And it's knowing what doesn't work. Because when you know what doesn't work, just do the opposite of it. Because, you know, so, you know, you make your mistakes, you figure it out. And then for me, you know, going back to Utah State, well, shoot, man, now it's time to get a high level education. And again, now I'm working for Coach Dave Scholes, you know, been the most influential mentor in my career. And so now you just absorbing it of how to manage and run high level nutrition for a team. you know, then come down to University of Houston. And it was just, it was a need that we had with the way our facility was set up, with the way our university staffed our athletic department. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just kind of kept growing and kept evolving. And, you know, I'd be lying if I said there weren't other people out there who would do a lot better job than I could. Mm-hmm. But I think the most important thing that we have is we have consistency. You know, we do a great job, you know, but it's also consistent, and there's a tremendous amount of effort put into it. And there's somebody there 24/7 making sure it's done the right way. You know, we don't have somebody just sending menus over and we got to figure it out, or, you know, shooting something off to a hotel on the road and we're kind of stuck with something. You know, so it's just, yeah, just been a lot of, you know, a lot of reading, a lot of talking to the right people, a lot of experience actually being in the trenches and implementing it and growing from it. And, you know, just been a hands-on deal the whole way through.
For the younger strength coach, and I know just because I've been in their shoes before, you know, getting impatient, being like, when is it my time? When am I going to get a shot to be at the University of Houston and running my own program? But you, like you said, you got to be in the trenches. You got to do your time and take the time to figure out what doesn't work and then just do the opposite of it, which is probably the best damn advice I've heard on here in a while. So, you know, at Utah State, you had the opportunity to meet a legend in Charles Poliquin. And what was it like meeting, you know, a guy like that? And then also, you know, his training philosophies and programming, how's that impacted you?
Yeah. You know, I was very fortunate. It was, man, just unbelievable being able to spend a little bit of time with the late Charles Poliquin. You know, but it's interesting because with Charles, it was, again, going back to Dave Schultz, when I realized this is what I wanted to do, I remember he told me to go get the Poliquin Principles book and just start reading. And again, it's not mythical. It's not magical. There's nothing that is, man, if I just get this book, I'm going to have it figured out. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just more information. And then you've got to put it into action. But, you know, I think the thing that is, that I appreciated and that drew me to a lot of what Charles did was, what he did kind of early, you know, a lot of the sets and the reps and just getting unbelievable results and just doing such a good job of tying everything together. You know, and so, and again, I, you know, honestly, I don't think it'd probably be fair for me to try to talk about anything Charles did, because there's a whole lot more people out there who can give you a whole lot better information that knew him much, much better than I did. Again, I just spent a little bit of time, and I was fortunate to spend that very little bit of time, but, you know, it was very influential. And again, you know, it goes back to what I was saying with Dave and just kind of getting me started and having the right mentors to point me down the right path and start looking for good information. And, you know, one of them was, it was Mark Uyama, and, you know, he's got a few years under his belt up in the NFL. He does a really good job. Yeah. And I remember he just told me, he said, hey, this website, T Nation, just go read every article on it, you know, and then read them again. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. And I mean, I did, I started that. So I'm, you know, I remember what year that was. You know, I'm like a sophomore. Okay. And I'm literally just reading T Nation articles. You know, I mean, that's what I started doing, and just started connecting dots and, you know, seeing kind of the fingerprints that are getting left on programs and fingerprints that are getting left on, you know, training philosophies. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, man, just kind of, like I said, just got to take that information and use it in a way that fits with answering the questions and solving the problems that you have. And so, you know, and so now actually I'll kind of circle back. You know, you had said, you know, how do things change as the year progresses, you know, training this, that, the other. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that's a little bit, you know, it's maybe overly simplistic, but it's the way I view writing training programs is I look at the needs of our team, and it's just, all right, needs analysis. What do we need the most right now? You know, what's one priority? You know, and again, you know, it's something that Charles always said, you know, you got one ass, don't try to ride two horses, you know, or, you know, what's a, you know, the guy who chases two rabbits goes home hungry. Right. And so I think that's one thing for me I've found that I get the best results when I try to filter out as much as possible and just say, what is the most important thing we need to get done right now? Mm. And let's prioritize that. And it doesn't mean that, you know, if let's say we got a kid coming in who weighs 170 pounds, jump out the gym, freak athlete, super, super shifty guy. And you can argue, man, does he need to get stronger? Does he need to, you know, improve his vertical? Like what? He just needs to get to 190.
Right.
He needs to put on 20 pounds. That is the priority number one. Now on the path to 190, yeah, he's going to get stronger.
Right.
And yeah, he's going to put on some muscle mass. And yeah, there's some other things that are going to come with that. It's probably going to improve his speed and he's going to jump a little bit higher. But don't lose sight of the priority. What this kid needs to be successful is he needs to get to, you know, 190. But maybe it's the other side. You know, the way we play, we run the floor. You got a kid that comes in and he's 260. Well, shoot, we need you at 240. Not he just needs to get stronger. Not he just needs to, you know, but we need you at 240. You're just too heavy. You know, you can't get in shape at the weight you're at with the way we play. And so I think that's just something I've always done, man. Just what is the number one priority? And then chase that rabbit. And then once you catch it, like chase another rabbit, right? What's the new priority? So, you know, so I would say that's how it changes is just constant, you know, needs analysis, constant evaluation, and then, you know, make a plan and implement it.
And you're just dropping really, really good stuff. It's just keep it simple. Just focus on the one thing and achieve that one goal. And then,
you
know, like you said, find a new one because, you know, there's a lot of training techniques out there. And I think, you know, we could get ourselves and turned around a little bit if we try to include 20 different training techniques into one-hour session.
Yeah.
I think it's important. How has the last 5-6 months changed how your approach in the weight room has become? Like you said, we're focusing in on one thing. You know, I know for us, it was like, all right, we just got to keep our athletes moving. I know they're at home, you know, some of them might not have access to a weight room. So we're just going to focus on doing the best we can with, you know, a backpack or whatnot. So has anything in the last couple of months, you know, changed the way you approach things?
You know, I'll tell you this. I think at the beginning of this deal, none of us really knew that at this point in time, we're still going to be having this conversation. Right. None of us knew how, and honestly, right now, none of us know it's going to be happening 4 months from now.
Right.
But I'll say this, I can only speak to what our team was going through. And so for us last year, not this season we just played, but the season before, you know, we played into March, had a pretty good team, you know, made a pretty good little run there. You know, we had started that previous June. You know, made a little run, came back the next summer, started in June, and then we had a foreign tour. Mm. So after that foreign tour, we had our season, we're doing our deal, we're stopping in March. Well, you start thinking about it and you talk about the previous 2 years. I mean, what did they have? They had March at the end of March. So you could say maybe a little bit of April and a little bit of May was off. And then the following May, a little bit was off. So in 2 years, they had 2.5 months off.
Right.
So for us, I wasn't overly concerned about it. And I knew right away, hey, you know what? Even if we don't see them for a few months, let these guys recharge their batteries. Just let them, you know. So I gave them some things to do. We had a couple of guys that were, you know, diligent about getting it in and really wanting to, you know, talk to me about what they could and couldn't do, you know, with the resources they had and what they had available. But at the end of the day, we had a lot of guys who just needed to get away. And I think it was good for them to get away from school, get away from, you know, get away from the coaches, get away from the weight room, get away from everything. Just, you know, I mean, we'd seen them way, way too much of each other.
Right.
A little break was good for them. And then, you know, I can just speak for our situation. When we got back, you know, we had a really good setup for how we were able to train. I think we worked them in very intelligently. And you know, I think we're still working them in very intelligently because we had a couple kids who made a decision that coming in the summer probably wasn't going to be in the best interest. And I agree with both of them. You know, I know why they didn't come and it made a lot of sense. So now that we got him, you know, we just had our first full team run.
Nice.
Like just had it, right? With everybody back. So, you know, so, I mean, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle on this. Like there's not a right answer for everybody.
Right. Absolutely.
So, and I'm not even going to try to speak on, I even don't really want to dive into too much to what we're doing. Cause then other people are going to say, hey, that's a good idea. That's what we should be doing. Nah, figure out what you should be doing. Don't try to do what we're doing. So. No,
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you were to pick up the phone and call Coach Bishop from 5 years ago, what would you tell him?
That's tough. You know, five years is tough. I can tell you exactly what I told me 10 years ago.
Sure. Let's hear.
You know, 10 years ago, I was at Southern Utah and, you know, I'm working, you know, my face off making 20 something thousand a year. I got a wife, got a kid. I mean, I'm just, but I was in a really, really good, spot at the time. I won't necessarily say it was a great situation because, you know, we had great kids. We had administrators that they understood what we didn't have and they weren't breathing down our necks about unrealistic expectations. You know, just do your due diligence, man. Work really hard. Do your best. You know, we're going to win games. We're going to get results. Just, you know, again, we're having to play Montana in football. They're winning national titles. And we just barely, like 2 years before, finally got to our full allotment of scholarships. Right. So, I mean, so we were on a little bit of a different plane at that point. Mm-hmm. But I remember at the time I was really struggling with it because like you're saying, you know, people are looking around and man, I want this job. I want that job. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple jobs that, you know, came open and I really, really wanted to be in the mix for. You know, I just didn't, they went with some different people that, you know, at the time, man, makes sense. I would have hired that person too, if I was in the administrator's shoes. Right.
Right.
But I think one thing I had to learn was, dude, just as you're grinding, as you're, you know, mastering your craft, these jobs are going to come back open.
Right.
You know, do what you love. Eventually, if the money's there, it's icing on the cake. And I'm not one to say, you know, hey, we should live in poverty and we should be proud of the fact that we make 20 something thousand dollars a year with a wife and a kid. That's that, you know, nobody strives for that, but you should chase, you know, being content in life. You should, you know, chase what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're working a job you love and, you know, your family is taken care of in a way that, you know, you're good with where you're at. I mean, shoot, man, that's a whole lot better than most people in this world are doing. But you know, if you got the ambition, you want to climb the ladder, you want to win, you know, conference titles and national titles and, you know, compete on a big stage against the very best. I mean, that's understandable, you know, that's something I love doing. So I would have just told myself, man, just keep working. You know, the right opportunities are going to present themselves. The right situations are going to come available. You know, you get to a point eventually where, you know, you're getting, people are calling you, asking you to take good jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, it's just part of the path. I think, you know, when I was in my early 20s, you know, I'm sitting there and I probably had an unrealistic expectation, you know, of how much money I should have been making and how easy life should or shouldn't be, you know, and I just think it's one of those things, man. Like it's just work hard, do a really good job, get results. And then just when the time comes that there's a job you want that you feel you're the right fit for, be the no-brainer answer to get that job. Mm. And shoot, and even if you're not the no-brainer answer, maybe you're the second or third choice, but it don't mean you're not the best choice, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Be the best choice. So, you know, I think that's what I would just told myself then, you know, and then I'd have probably, you know, slid some Apple stock tips and other things like that in there. But,
yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I think we could all benefited from that in our early part of our career. Now, I think it's important, Coach. That's you know, great piece of advice and it's coming for somebody, you know, you're at Houston making things happen. I think it's important for younger coaches or other coaches to hear that, you know, from you or from anybody else being like, yo, just focus on your craft and those jobs will open up again and just work on becoming the no brainer versus, you know, potentially putting yourself in a bad situation where maybe you don't get along with the coaches or, you know, the administration's a little bit harder. So
I'll tell you this one. Five years ago, as we're sitting here talking, I'm thinking about it. 5 years ago, I would have told myself, pick your head coach wisely. Mm. Right. I think a lot of us feel like, you know, especially in the early part of your career, you just feel like you're having to, like we're at the mercy of them from a standpoint of getting a job. Like, don't forget, man, we're every part of the staff is a very important part of the staff, mm-hmm. you know, and we all have our small piece of the puzzle. That's an important piece of the puzzle. Right. But I think sometimes it can get really, really easy to get caught up in like, oh man, you know, some of these jobs, man, now they pay.
Right.
And I would never hate on somebody for trying to make a buck. Mm-hmm. You got to take care of your family.
Right.
But I mean, as much as I kind of hate to say it, you know, an extra $5,000 a year it's not always worth it, man. Right. Sometimes an extra $10,000 a year, mm-hmm. it's not worth it because you didn't pick your head coach the right way. You're working for a guy who doesn't value what you do. So yeah, now maybe you're making a little bit more money, but you're not happy. You don't get to train kids the way you want to train them. You know, maybe your wife and kids never see you anymore. Mm. Maybe you're going to get run out of town because, you know, you just got a head coach who got the job and he wasn't ready for it. Right.
Right.
Mm. So I just say, I'd give myself a whole lot of advice on how to pick your head coach the right way as you're evaluating jobs moving forward, you know, in our side on the support staff.
Great advice, coach. And if anybody, you know, follows you on Instagram or anything, you know, you have, you know, a wife and kids. What is it like having your, you know, I've, you know, seen a couple of your posts, your kids are in there, you know, hitting the weights with you. You know, can you tell me a little bit what it's like to, you know, be a strength coach, but, you know, we are humans and we have families, you know, what is it like to have your kids, you know, in the weight room there with you or your wife?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a special place in heaven for a coach's wife, right? Okay. You know, for a coach's spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is. You got to be built different, man. It's an unbelievable support system that I have at home to be able to do what I love. Cause, you know, it's a nomadic lifestyle. It's not the easiest job in the world. And then on top of that, man, it's a year-to-year job. You're on a 1 year lease every single year.
Yeah.
And then even then they can just come down and say, hey, we're going to go a different way. But you know, with my kids, you know, I don't know that there's a perfect way to be a parent. I don't know if there's a perfect way to be a spouse. I love my wife and I love my kids more than anything in the world. And you know, they know that. And, you know, I love having them up in the facility. And, I heard somebody say it one time and man, I wish I could remember where I heard this, but somebody said, you know, we work from home. We can have our home at work too. Mm. You know, just, you know, they can cross paths both ways.
Right.
And so now that being said, I probably can't have my wife and kids in there watching me train guys. Right. But if there's a day that we don't have, you know, if my kids are off school, we don't have anybody up in the weight room lifting. I got to get some paperwork done, something like that. Mm. I mean, sure. Why couldn't they be up in the weight room? Why couldn't they be up there hanging out with me? Right? Yep. Why can't we go in there and train together when nobody else is in there training? Nothing wrong with that. Right. You gotta make time where you can find time, right?
Exactly. So. Yeah, that's important. You know, that's maybe not so much like a work-life balance, but just integrating everything.
I'll say, you know, I hear that term all the time, work-life balance. I'm not saying that's wrong.
Yeah.
But there's no such thing, man. There's life.
Right.
Work life, you know, family life. No, man, there's just life. And so part of life is family. Part of life is work. Part of life is a mortgage and bills, right? Like, I mean, that's just life. So, you know, you're saying you're trying to balance something that, well, now I don't think that's the right way to look at it.
Right.
You know, again, like I'm going to work at home sometimes. It's just the nature of the job. Yep. And I'm going to have home at work sometimes. It's just the nature of the job and how I can find some time with my family. So I think you just got to change the way you look at it. And, you know, and then nothing for nothing, man, my kids, they're little meatheads now. I don't know where they get it from, man. So
hey.
All those years of loading creatine, something must have gone right.
Absolutely.
No, but, I mean,
that's
important. They like to be in there getting after it.
Good. Yeah, and it's definitely important. And, you know, like you said, it's not so much a work-life balance. It's just life. It's all integrated together. Like, it's everything's important to you, so it's going to be there. And I think part of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast is just to let other coaches know there are coaches there with spouses and with families and stuff. They get it. But the young coach listening to this would be, I don't want to romanticize what we do. You know, it's tough. Like, we work hard and we work long hours, but you can have a family and they can show up in the weight room and show with you at the right time. So I think that's important to hear. And I want to get
one. And well, I'll tell you this too. What you just said, I think one of the things that's, it's, you know, you talked about Instagram earlier. You know, me personally, man, I love the internet. It is, in my opinion, one of the greatest accomplishments, achievements in human history, right? The entire aggregate of information in human history is available in my pocket on my phone. It's insane, right? But part of that too is you kind of get in these echo chambers and you kind of get in these, you know, these group thinks. And right now, man, you know, like I really like Twitter. I really like, you know, I like putting out information. I really like, you know, educational content. You know, I'll write an article for somebody. And that's a super in-depth, longer than the 140 character tweet, right? Mm-hmm. And that article might get, you know, 5,000 people that read it. But you put out a tweet and you can get 500,000 people that see it. So it's one of those things where you can put out some good educational content, right? But the other thing is now you get 500,000 people seeing something that might be complete bullshit.
Right.
And one of them, I'm just going to say, man, like, this job ain't for everybody. And that's okay. That really is okay, man. It's not for everybody. And so if you're sitting there saying, man, I really want to be a strength coach at the college level. I don't think it's the right decision for my family. I don't know if you know, it's going to take too much time. Don't do it. Just don't do it. That's fine. It doesn't make you a bad person. It's not for everybody. Or, you know, if you feel that you're worth $80,000, but nobody's willing to pay that to you, then I mean, I got some bad news. But you hang out on some of these Twitter chats and these people are talking about, oh, this job only pays $35,000. Well, you know what that sounds like to me? An unbelievable opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And again, get paid as much as possible. I do not want people living in poverty. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if there's a job out there and this is what you want more than anything in the world, shit, man, figure out a way to make that thing work and be a springboard in your favor. And if you can't figure that out, then yeah, this job's not for you.
Yep.
And if you don't like working 12 and 14 hour days sometime, dude, this job ain't for you. And if you can't deal with, you know, personality types, this job ain't for you. Right. Like,
right.
But that's okay though. It's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean that you failed or you couldn't hack it. It's just like, you know, I wanted to play in the NFL. That wasn't for me. It's not for everybody.
Yeah,
and I wish it was, but it wasn't the path I needed to take. So, you know, I would have if I could have, but it wasn't for me. That's okay. So anyways, man, just kind of getting up on my soapbox for the day right there.
It's great stuff. And, you know, I try to instill that in, at least in the interns, like, hey, I work at a D2 school in downtown Denver with no football. So I don't necessarily get the experienced individuals coming in as an intern. So I have to let them know a lot of times this may not be for you, but I don't want to romanticize it. I don't want them to, you know, it's cool to wear all of our Nike gear and be on sidelines and be in our weight rooms. But I was like, there's, you know, 14 other hours that you see besides on your Instagram that we're working and dealing with that stuff. And I'll just have a few more questions for you before you have to get back to your hurricane prep. So what kind of workout are you doing personally? Like how are you lifting right now?
Well, without getting too much into it, I'm nursing a chronic deal. So I'm a little bit laid back right now. But, you know, one thing for me is, you know, again, I played ball and I got up to, you know, I got up to 300 pounds and I was a 300. Big guy once upon a time. Yeah. You should, if you ever find my old senior photo, man, I was rocking the long waves and,
All right. I'll see if I can find it. I didn't see anything on my research before this, but I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, man. 300 pounds and flowing locks once upon a time, man, just a child of Mother Nature. So, so anyways, man, a lot of what I do is, you know, it's almost fighting that battle because, you know, I'm trying to keep that weight off and, you know, so just try to gear my training around that a little bit. And, you know, I'm nothing for nothing, man. I'd be lying to you if I said I'm training for anything. Mm. Like, you know, I've done a powerlifting meet. I love the sport of powerlifting. I really do. I respect guys that powerlift. But, you know, it just, when I did it, again, I did one meet, I put, I think 6 months of prep into it. And it was just very ungratifying. I sat around for about, I think it ended up being like 7 hours to lift the bar 9 times, you know, CrossFit, bodybuilding. I'm just trying to think whatever disciplines are out there, just not necessarily appealing to me. You know, I just like training, man. I like trying out different methods. And so I think you see a lot of guys that program hop and they never get results. I like to kind of carve out some time and say, hey, I'm going to spend the next 9 weeks or 12 weeks doing this, you know, 12-week program or hey, man, I found this book from 1972 and this is what this guy was doing. And hey, I've actually never even seen that done that way. I'm going to try that out. You know, the other one is don't be afraid to pay people for their expertise. You know, I buy programs from other coaches. I really like seeing how other guys put their programs together. And so, you know, I bought some from Charles. I've been buying them from Christian Thibodeau and what he does. You know, I got a really, really good buddy that used to be one of my teammates and he's a, you know, he was a grad assistant for me at Southern Utah. I brought him down. We were able to expand that staff a little bit. He's killing it in the private sector. You know, I steal his stuff all the time. And, you know, I've gotten a few good little things here and there out of it. You know, I'm not obviously buying a program and writing it up on a whiteboard and saying, guys, here's what we got today. Right. But I think, you know, I just enjoy training. I enjoy trying different, you know, different things. So, you know, I don't know if that's, what am I doing is maybe that's a long way of saying, not really anything, just a little bit of everything. But, you know, I just like getting under the bar.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it's important. And I think it's good to know, like, hey, I practice what I preach, you know, like before I even try to implement it with anybody else, I'm going to put myself through 6 months of it and see how it works. And I think that's important. So what's next for Coach Bishop? What's on the horizon for you as this new year for, I think just every person that works is coming up. What's next for you?
You know what? There's kind of a mindset that I developed a while back and I see people that chase trends and it's unbelievable. Like just, I think people are so fearful of getting left behind. And, you know, I had somebody tell me one time and it stuck with me. You know, they said that, you know, it used to be the worst coach out there that you didn't want to work for was the, I've always done it this way. I'm always going to do it this way. And this, you know, like, dude, that guy doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's very, very few of those guys running around. It's completely shifted to the other side where it's, oh man, did you hear about what Coach Bishop said on this podcast? We got to do that starting tomorrow. Like this is going to change everything. Like, no, that guy's much more dangerous because you're just not rooted in anything. You just don't have beliefs and you don't have a value system for how you put your stuff out there to get your kids better. And so for me, I tell you all that because like, let's say something really, really well known, like a triphasic, you know, book comes out. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually give that a few years, not because I don't respect the coach, not because I don't think that there's value to it, but you know what, I'm doing stuff that I know works. Like I tweak my stuff all the time. I make little adjustments all the time, but let me give it a few years. I don't need to just throw the baby out with the bathwater because something is trending. Right. And then a few years later, I'm going to, you know, I'll start implementing it when I've let some other people, maybe be the guinea pigs on it and find ways to make it work better. Then I'll talk to those people and figure out, you know, what didn't work. So I'm not necessarily going to dive into what, but there's some, you know, there's a couple things on the mobility side, you know, the soft tissue side. There's a couple things, you know, some different training methods that, you know, I'm not on the cutting edge of anything. And I'm cool with that. Like, I mean, my guys get results. You know, we really focus on the meat and potatoes, but, you know, again, I'm not chasing trends. So it's been a few years. There's a couple of things I've been wanting to really, really dive into. And, we're kind of diving into those as we speak. Mm-hmm. And honestly, man, it's, you know, hey, this stuff popped up for a reason. It's good stuff. Oh, yeah. You know, oddly enough, it's gone away for some reason. I don't know why. It's you know, the whole trend thing, but yeah, we're just, you know, we're doing some things in a weight room like that. And yeah, man, it's some good stuff.
Yeah. And we'll keep an eye out for your new, Jordans and stuff. And you always keep it on point. One thing I saw on your Instagram, I was like, yeah, this guy's got he's got the sneaker game on lock.
You know what? It's funny. I'm not a shoe guy.
No,
by any stretch of the imagination.
All right.
But we got you know, these like player exclusive Jordans that are, I guess, you know, they're pretty valuable from a collector's standpoint because there's just not many of them floating around.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, I got them all in a box in my closet. So, nice. You know, not saying if any collectors that wear a size 14 are trying to. No, I'm just, you know.
Yeah,
but it's funny, man. Just being a Jordan brand school, there's so few Jordan brands. That, man, they take care of us now.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice having number 23 on our side. He does a good job making sure we're geared up and looking good on the sidelines. So
for sure. I appreciate your time, Coach, and you know, thank you for jumping on. You had provided us with a lot of great like nuggets of information and insight. If our listeners wanted to, you know, keep up or, you know, find you. You said you're on Twitter and you have an Instagram as well. Where else or where should they contact you?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably good. Okay. You know, I'm fairly active on both of those. Again, I just really enjoy putting out, you know, different kind of educational and, you know, one thing there is, again, going back to my time in Southern Utah, mm-hmm. I was always just scouring, trying to find information. And so that's, I try to be transparent to a point, you know, I never want to devalue my assistants. I never want to devalue, you know, kind of people within the tree by, not that I have secrets, but you know, the whole, why would you buy the cow if you get the milk for free? I mean, if somebody's really saying, you know, and I'm talking about a basketball coach, man, I love what University of Houston's doing. We need to get a piece of that. Hey, I got a guy right here. You know, and then, you know, so there's a few things that we kind of play close to the vest and keep under the hat. But for the most part, man, I mean, I put a lot of content out there on both of those. So, you know, you can find me on either one of those. And I try to respond to most people. But I'll be honest with you, if you start and you're just a moron, I mean, I'm not even going to be diplomatic about it. There's some absolute just bozos out there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to respond to you. So, but yeah, I mean, for the most part, I'll respond to you on those if you hit me up there.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, thank you for your time and you know, I want to say good luck and, you know, to the season and really thank you for coming on and giving our listeners a whole bunch of great information and insight into the strength conditioning profession.
Yep. Sure thing, brother.
Yeah. Appreciate you.
All right, man.
This episode is brought to you by Team Builder. Team Builder is the premier strength and conditioning app for teams and private facilities. Used by more than 2,500 organizations worldwide, performance coaches can write training programs online for athletes to access on their mobile app or where they work out in the weight room view on a tablet. Right now, when you start a 14-day free trial, use promo code CHALK, that is promo code CHALK, to access more than 70 strength conditioning programs directly in your Team Builder account, including 4 sports science questionnaire templates. I'm telling you, great people, great software. Check them out. Thanks everyone for listening. Thank you to our great guests for taking the time to share their experiences.
Thank you to Play and Team Builder for being great companies that help our profession. And most importantly, thank you, the listeners. Please find us on social media at Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0. Find our show notes on wherever you listen to your podcast. Leave us a rating, comment, and subscribe. And don't forget to say hi. It's great to hear from coaches from around the country. Talk to you all next week on another episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0.